In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be with you. Hope you're having a wonderful week. I know that I am busy, you know, very busy. And one of the reasons why I'm busy, I'm preparing to embark on a two-week speaking tour. So it all starts, I head to Midland, Texas tomorrow. They want me there a day early because I'm speaking at this men's conference with Jim Caviezel. And I'm not sure how long he's going to be there. I know I'm going to be there the entire time, but I think he's not staying the whole time. But because of all the, you know, the hubbub with regard to him coming, you know, they want me there a day early. So I'm going to be doing that. Looking forward to seeing Jim Caviezel again. Actually, if some of you recall, I had the great honor and privilege of serving as deacon of the word at Mother Angelica's funeral. So I read the gospel and Jim Caviezel was there. So I met him at the reception afterward. But it was hard to get to him because all the nuns were flocking to him like he was like, you know, rock star, right? Well, when you play Jesus, I guess you in a sense become like a Catholic rock star, I guess. And so I met him briefly then. And I'm not sure how much time I'll be able to spend with him, but I'm looking forward to seeing him again this weekend. And then I'm going to be joined by three people that are not strangers to EWTN. Charbel Raish, the president of Parousia in Australia. Dr. Robert Haddad, a theologian and Catholic apologist, the best one in Australia easily by far. And philanthropist Kevin Bailey. And we're going to be embarking on a speaking tour covering kind of the East Coast of the United States. If some of you may recall last year, they came and we did the West Coast and the Midwest. So we did Orange County, California. Then we went down to San Diego to a parish there, my former spiritual director's parish. And Catholic, we attended the Catholic Answers Conference. And then we went to the Midwest. We went to Kansas City, Kansas, Olathe, Kansas, St. Louis, Missouri. And then we went down to Birmingham, where the three of them were on with Father Mitch on EWTN Live. You know, so they're coming. It went so well last year that they were going to do it again. We're coming back this year and starting on September 23rd. So I'm going to go from Midland, Texas to fly to Miami. And we're all meeting there. And then we're going to be going to Naples, Florida. Then up to St. Augustine, Florida. Then to Greer, South Carolina. And then to Jacksonville, North Carolina. And then to Roanoke, Virginia. And then up to the National Divine Mercy Shrine in Stockbridge. So I've never been there before. So I'm excited to go to the home of the MICs, the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. And by the way, people say, oh, you were there, Deacon, because I see you singing that chaplet on EWTN. That's not me. Okay. The guy that sings the chaplet on EWTN, that's a guy named Michael, who I know, he lives in Florida, and Michael is actually not Catholic, okay? But he has a great devotion to the Chapel of Divine Mercy. That's not me, okay? So I'll be going to there. And then we're heading to Steubenville, Ohio. We're going to be speaking at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and then wrapping things up with the men's conference in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. We're going to be attending that conference and then speaking at St. Anthony and St. George Maronite Church, also in Wilkes-Barre, to round out the tour. And it will be flying out of Philadelphia. So, it's going to be awesome. Lots of preparation getting ready for this tour. So I'm glad that time is finally here. So if you're anywhere in those areas, please come and see us. The events are free thanks to the generosity of some sponsors. who believe in what we're doing and spreading the word of God, we would love for you to attend. So the theme of the tour this year is We Will Serve the Lord. All right, that comes from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. We will serve the Lord. Remember, you are familiar with that passage. You know, who as for me and my house, we choose whom you will serve, God or the gods of the pagan gods of that your fathers worship. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's the theme for the tour, the speaking tour for this year. And so I'm not really going to be speaking, actually. I'm kind of like doing logistics and coordinating the sites and hotels and travel and all that kind of stuff. But I'll be doing the introduction, introducing each of the speakers. Kevin is going to talk about from success to significance, how he had tremendous success in the financial services area, did extremely well, but then really his faith was on the back burner. And then how things turned around when he discovered his love for Jesus and the Catholic faith. He's going to, a great, great, powerful story where he's going to talk about that. Dr. Robert Haddad is going to talk about the Eucharist, the glory presence of the new Israel. So especially we're focusing on the Eucharist so heavily this year here in the United States. He wanted to give a talk that's going to be focusing on the glory, the Shekinah, the glory presence of God. Episkiazo in Greek. In fact, it's the same word that's using Luke's gospel for the Holy Spirit overshadowing the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Annunciation. So he's going to talk about that. And then Charbel Race is going to talk about how Islam led me back to Christ. His story of how he was Catholic, then he converted to Islam, and then he came back to the Catholic Church after a powerful interaction with our Lord during a time of adoration. So it's really looking forward to this. Again, if you want more details, just go to my website, deaconharold.com, and just scroll down just a little way, just like, you know, one little scroll with the mouse, and go down. It says Parousia USA Tour, 2024 Tour. And you just click on that banner there, and it will give you all the details for the entire tour. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And I'll be able to do the show while I'm on the road as well. So you will not miss a minute of Beacon of Truth during this tour. And if I'm able to do it, you know, we'll maybe have one or two of those guys on as kind of a surprise guest on one of the shows next week. So very much looking forward to that. So we would ask for your prayers, especially for traveling mercies. We're going to be driving. Last year we flew everywhere. And this year we decided to just rent a vehicle and drive. So we're going to be spending a lot of time together driving up the East Coast, the United States, and then getting over to Ohio, back into Pennsylvania. That's going to be a lot of miles. And, of course, I'll be doing most of the driving since they drive on the other side of the road and the steering wheel's on the other side of the car. So I'll be driving. But it's great because, again, I'm not speaking. I'm just doing logistics. It's great to play this role, not having to speak, you know, and coordinating things so these guys have a wonderful experience here in the United States. So I'm really looking forward to that, putting on a different hat, you know, this time around. Well, today is Wednesday. You know what that means? It's Word of God Wednesday here on Beacon of Truth. And we're breaking open God's Word for the gospel reading for this Sunday, which is Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. You know, with the apostles, we'll take a quick look at the gospel when we begin that segment of the show talking about the gospel. The whole theme is humility, right? The whole theme of the gospel is humility. You know, who's the greatest? Who's going to sit at your right? And, you know, so we're going to talk about that. And, of course, would love to hear from you. Maybe your struggles with humility. Maybe you're dealing with scrupulosity. Maybe you're dealing with arrogance and you need more humility. You want to try to find ways to find humility in your life. We want to talk about humility also with regard to confidence. For example, if you're doing something and you're very, very skilled at it and you know that you're good at it, you know, what you want to balance there is confidence, knowing that God has given you a gift and you're using that gift for God's glory, and arrogance, where you think that no one is, this is because, you know, I know I have these gifts and look what I'm doing and everybody look at me and it's all about me and that kind of thing, where we have a lack of humility. So confidence is recognizing your gifts with humility. Arrogance is recognizing your gifts without humility. So we want to talk about that as well. The phone number to call to be with us on the show today is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And when we come back, of course, we'll be breaking open God's word in the Psalms. We get a double dose of scripture today on Beacon of Truth. The Psalm coming up, and then the Word of God Wednesday, focusing on Mark's gospel. Again, we'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Wear that thumb out.
Yeah, yeah. Love that slapper. That became really popular, like, was that like late 80s or in the 80s?
Well, I know Steely Dan. For slap Dan. Bass?
Yeah, like where it became like...
Oh, no. I mean, it was going on... I mean, you had some of that going on with Motown, which then ultimately affected, you know, disco and all kinds of other things.
But
you go back to the James Jamerson days with the Motown, man. He was doing those fifths and... it's good stuff.
Man. Good stuff, man. Outstanding. Well... It's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And we're taking a look at the gospel for this weekend, focusing on humility, looking at Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37 today. And I would love to hear from you. We're talking about humility. Do you struggle with humility? What's the difference between confidence and arrogance? I think humility is the key. Maybe you found ways to draw more humility, have more humility in your life. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, now that the kids are back in school, if your kids have been dealing with some things when it comes to peer pressure or bullies, Dr. Ray Guarendi has a great book right now available in the EWTN Religious Catalog called Family Faith Under Fire. And he's providing some answers for how to handle those situations this year. Find out more when you, of course, shop Catholic and find this book, Family Faith Under Fire, from Dr. Ray Guarendi, available when you buy Catholic and shop EWTNRC.com.
All right. Well, when you hear that music, it's time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. Soulful Psalms. You can find as its own podcast, PodcastCentralEWTN.com, or you can go to one of your favorite podcast outlets, Spotify, iTunes, and I have them on both, actually. So again, I don't listen to myself, but if people ask, hey, how do I get it? I could just show them straight away. And of course, on the EWTN app, that's the best way to get it. All right. Well, we're taking a look at Psalm 39 today. This is a fairly long Psalm. We have to break it into two parts. We're looking at the first seven verses of Psalm 39. So Psalm 39 is right toward the end of Book 1 of the Psalms, and all the Psalms in Book 1, Psalms 1 to 41, are attributed to David. And so the prescript starts off as the entire first verse, as is common for Davidic Psalms, especially Psalms in this first book, for the choir master, for Jeduthun. Okay, now, who's Jeduthun? So, again, if you remember that David appointed the chief Levites to appoint men, or he directed the chief Levites to appoint men to serve as superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. So we have guys like Asaph and the sons of Korah, and we have the Ezrahites, Heman and Etan, David, of course, wrote his own Psalms. But then we have this guy, Jeduthun. He only shows up basically in three Psalms, 39, 39, 62, and 77 are the three for Jeduthun. Now, the name Jeduthun means lauder or praiser, right? Like, for example, the office, the morning office is called Lauds. Well, it's called morning prayer, but the Latin name is Lauds, means to praise. And so Jeduthun, it means lauder or praiser in Hebrew. And so if you want a list of all those guys, by the way, 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22. Again, 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22 lists all of the superintendents of the musical guild. A Psalm of David, all right? So for Jeduthun, a Psalm of David. Starts at verse 2. I said, I will be watchful of my ways, for fear I should sin with my tongue. I will put a curb on my lips when the wicked man stands before me. I was mute, silent, very still, as my pain became intense. Okay, I think there's a couple things going on here. The first thing to be mindful of is when you read these first these verses 2 and 3 of this psalm, what image comes to mind? To me, Jesus standing before Pontius Pilate. All right? What did he say? I will put a... Remember, he says he was like the sheep before the shearer. Right? He was silent, not opening his mouth. Right? When he stood before Pilate. Although he did say some things to Pilate finally. But at first, he was not answering Pilate's question. Until Pilate said, do you not speak to me? Do you know I have the power of life and death? And then Jesus answers him, you would not have given this power unless it was given to you from above, right? But before then, he's silent like the sheep before the shearer, as it's in the suffering servant psalm in Isaiah 53. But here it says, I will put a curb on my lips when the wicked man stands before me. I was mute, silent, very still, as my pain became intense. Right? Because again, why his pain becoming intense standing before Pilate? Because he knew the scourging was coming. Right? And he knew the crucifixion was coming. Right? And so all of this is the lead up. And so that's the one sense. The other sense here, we're talking about humility today in light of Mark's gospel. And David recognizes, you know what? When the arrogant man stands in front of me, I don't want to mirror him. So he's saying things to me and I say things back to him. That's not an avenue for dialogue at all. So what instead, so that he doesn't say something that's hurtful or cursing or wicked himself, he stands silent, right? Mute, silent, very still, as my pain became intense. As someone that's arrogant is yelling at you or something like that, you know, it starts to well up within yourself, right? It starts to well up within your soul. My heart was burning within me. At the thought of it, the fire blazed up. Right? That's so, I love David. It's so human. It's so human, right? When you have the wicked standing before you, especially when you're getting into an argument with someone, or someone cut you off in traffic, or someone got on your last nerve. Right? It's like that fire burning up within you. When somebody hurt you, when somebody used you, when they took advantage of you, that fire burns up. And he says it. At the thought of it, just thinking about that incident or thinking about what happened, the fire blazed up, right? So he can feel that fire burning within him, right? And so that's very important for us to understand how human David is when he's dealing with these issues with regard to his relationship to the Lord.
Well, and also when he's making reference to like, you know, my time is fleeting. You know, in biblical time, people were living into the multiple hundreds, and to them, they still understood, or he still understood, the fleeting of time in the grand scheme of everything, because while us in our 90 to 100 years versus 700 plus, you know, it's kind of interesting to think about that it's still a matter of you got to let that stuff go.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you see, when you hold on to things like this, then God can't really work in you the way that he wants to.
Right.
He can't, because you're not giving him permission to.
Yeah.
Remember, God works within our hearts. If our hearts are filled with anger and jealousy and resentment, then the Holy Spirit is not going to force his way into your heart. You have to open your heart to let go of that stuff so that the Holy Spirit can replace all of that anger, animosity, jealousy, whatever, rage, whatever it is, with God's incredible divine mercy and love.
Well, and also think about when people say, well, yeah, you know, so-and-so hurt me or did, you know, they tell a full story and the person hearing it gets enraged, just hearing that this happened to someone they know or care about. And like, yeah, but I forgave them. And then what? Like, it blows their mind.
Yeah.
And like, well, I didn't do it for them. I did it for me because I'm not going to let them have that control over me, let alone what it does at eating away at my insides and all the strength and energy it takes to harbor all of that anger and frustration towards someone. It's not worth it.
No, absolutely. And let's be clear here. Now, when somebody does hurt you or you are wrong, we're not saying you shouldn't be angry.
Sure.
Of course you're going to be angry. Of course you're going to be upset. That's a natural human feeling and emotion. What David is experiencing here.
Yeah.
So we're not saying don't feel something. But we're saying is holding on to it, allowing that to linger. It's sometimes with people for years.
Yeah.
For years, they don't talk to this person, even members of their own families. Because I get it, especially in issues like abuse and things like that. I totally get that. But ultimately, you know, God wants to use you for his glory and he can't because of this. And David continues, my tongue burst into speech. O Lord, you have shown me my end. How short is the length of my days? Now I know how fleeting is my life. Whoa. Man, that is powerful. Oh, God, I love David. So here he is feeling this emotion because of the wickedness that's happening to him. And he knows that he's righteous, right? But yet the wicked comes, the evil comes because people use their free will to say no to God. And so and he seems to be the victim. He's on the receiving end of this wickedness. He is angry about it. He said it's burning within his heart. It's welling up in him like a fire. But then, as he reflects on his attitude, he realizes, you know what? Life is short. I don't have time to spend this much energy in the short span of time that I have on this earth to be worrying about all of this, to put all this stress on my life. To put my heart under the strain of the weightiness of anger and vitriol that's building it within my heart. And then he continues in verse 6, how short the span of days you have given me. My life is as nothing in your sight. So he recognizes like, life is fleeting. Life is short. My life is like nothing, Lord, compared to your magnificence, your omnipresence, and your greatness. Surely all mankind stands as but a breath. A man surely lives as a shadow. Right? And the shadow is very similar in Hebrew to the word image that's used in Genesis 1:26. It talks about the image and likeness of God, because that word, selem, means a shadow that's the outline or representation of the original. So David is saying here, a man surely lives as a shadow, right? So he should be living in the image of God, right? Reflecting God's life. But he sees the fleetingness of it when we try to pursue earthly things. Surely the riches he hoards, a mere breath, right? He does not know who will gather them. Wow. So how are we spending our time, this brief time we have on earth? Anger, resentment, hoarding earthly things, worldly things? Or should we be focusing on God and pursuing his love and his justice and his truth? Awesome. We'll continue the rest of the psalm another time. But today it's Word of God Wednesday. We're looking at Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37 on Beacon of Truth. I love those old synth sounds.
Oh, I know. Since you're going to be listening to a lot of Aussie music soon enough, I kind of want to take this playlist with you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we're going to have a very interesting play this on the tour coming up with the Australians, man. That ought to be fun.
You have to let me know what they're listening to, just out of curiosity.
Yeah. I'll definitely do that for sure. That's awesome. Another great selection.
Thank you, sir.
On Beacon of Truth. All right. Well, this is Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. It's Word of God Wednesday. And we're going to look at the gospel for this weekend. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 30 to 37, where Jesus talks about humility. And so we'll be breaking open God's word here in just a second. And again, one of the reasons why I love doing this show so much is because we have some tremendous support from the EWTN staff working behind the scenes. Matt Gabinski screening calls, Charles Beery doing social media, and the one and only Ace McKay producing. Ace, how's it going, bro?
It's good. We want to say congratulations, KBCC in Oklahoma. They're in Bartlesville. They actually just launched on the air, so we're adding to the EWTN family. So Father John and Jeff and his great team there at Oklahoma Catholic Radio continuing to add at 90.1. So if you're in the area or you know someone that lives in that area, let them know that they can now listen to EWTN Catholic Radio.
All right. Well, again, we're talking about Mark's Gospel for this weekend, Mark 9, chapter 30-37 on Word of God Wednesday. Would love to hear from you to talk about humility today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just like Larry has done. Larry calling from Southern California, beautiful sunny Southern California, listening on Sirius XM 130. Larry, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
You're most welcome.
I wanted to touch on the topic of humility as it relates to commonly referred to would be celebrating personal accomplishments, which some people may say feeds into your ego. And I'll give you the example I'm questioning. I've been very active throughout my life and run many marathons, like in New York and Ironman Triathlon in Hawaii. And you're awarded these medals and you have beautiful photo collages of crossing finish lines and posters from the races, and they get framed and they end up on the wall in your man cave or your office, and the medals are hanging there. And I'm wondering, you know, is that really an ego wall, or is that really something to be blessed and proud of, that you're just simply acknowledging your accomplishments through your journey?
That's a great question, Larry. So, no, I don't think it's an ego wall. My wife is a runner too, and she ran in the Paris Marathon in France last year. She ran in the Maui Marathon in Hawaii this year. And she runs in all kinds of races. She has like a wall full of medals. And again, she hangs them on the, we have a workout room in our house, and she hangs them on the wall there. But it's not arrogance at all, because that's just where she puts them. She doesn't, every time someone visits the house, she doesn't go, let me show you my medals for all my achievements. And she doesn't draw attention to it. She never talks about it. It's just a place to put them. If they're going to give them to her, okay, might as well have some place to put them. I mean, I have tons of awards and things like that too, but they're sitting in boxes in my garage. And when I get, eventually when I move out of my little space here into a proper office space, I'll be able to take those things out of the boxes and put them up on the wall. Not so much for me, because I could really care less. But for, you know, so if other people want to see, well, here's what my life was like before I started speaking, and here's things that people have given me as I traveled around the world. But it's just for display. It's not drawing attention to those things in order to glorify yourself. I draw attention to those things so that God can be glorified. And so that's an excellent, excellent point, Larry. That you're making today. And Larry brings up a good point. We're talking about the difference between arrogance and confidence, right? So we recognize that God has given us gifts, right? God has given people, all of us have gifts. We have to spend time discovering what those gifts are, those gifts that glorify God, as it says in Psalm 115, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory. And so you recognize that you have certain talents, certain gifts, and you know that. You know that God has blessed you. So arrogance is when you draw attention to yourself and you lack humility, right? Because you're saying, look at me, look at what I can do, look at all the great things that I've accomplished. It's all about me, pointing to yourself. Confidence is recognizing, you know what? I recognize I have these gifts from God, but I'm humble enough to recognize that God has given me those gifts so I can glorify him. It's drawing attention away from yourself and to the accomplishments that God is doing in you and through you, right? So that's the difference we're talking about. So a great call by Larry today to get us started talking about the humility in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37 on this Word of God Wednesday. Would love to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So the gospel, we see here Jesus and his disciples left and began to journey through Galilee, right? So by the Sea of Galilee, they probably just left Capernaum and they're walking through the Galilean region. Beautiful part of Israel. If you've ever been there on pilgrimage, it's absolutely spectacular. But he said he did not wish anybody to know about it. Why? He didn't want the mobs, you know, and all the people following him. And so he was teaching his disciples and telling them what was going to come. The Son of Man is going to be handed over and killed. But they did not understand, it says, what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him about it. What is this thing about dying? I thought that he was going to overthrow the Romans and restore Israel to its great former glory. You know, and obviously he's talking about the Son of Man is going to be killed. And what is he talking about? And so actually they're walking through the Galilean region. Now they reach Capernaum. And once inside the house, Jesus noticed that they were arguing. Some of the apostles were arguing amongst themselves. And he said, what were you arguing about? And they were silent. Why? Because they were embarrassed. But they had been discussing amongst themselves who was the greatest. Who was the greatest among them? Right. Think about it. Jesus handpicked these guys. Come and follow me. They left everything to follow him. And of course, in the way human nature works, when you have a group of people like that, there's a hierarchy, right? Okay, there's some people that are going to want to lead the group. They want things done a certain way, or they have a particular skill set in leadership, or, you know, rallying people around a particular cause, which is supposed to be rallying around Jesus. But amongst themselves, which one of us, you know, is the greatest? Which one of us is the leader? Which one of us, you know? And Jesus said, okay, look, let me school these dudes, right? So he sat them down, guys, chill out. And then he teaches them. If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. And Jesus drives this point home later on in the Last Supper in John's gospel, where he washes their feet, which is what only a servant would do, right? And then he takes a child and he says, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. So again, Jesus is pointing everything, directing everything back to the Father. So again, our Lord says, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant, the deacon, right? Diakonia in Greek, the deacon of all. And humility doesn't mean having low self-esteem. As you hear in Jesus' description here, the wishes to be first shall be the last and the servant of all. That doesn't mean having low self-esteem or being overly pious or holy, because true humility ultimately isn't about us, right? And you've heard me give this definition before. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less, right? That's what we're talking about. So to be humble is to live with the realization that we are constantly seeking God's face, right? It says, the Psalm says, seek the face of the Lord and yearn for him, right? I think it's Psalm 67, you know, that says, seek the face of the Lord and yearn for him. to realize that everything that we think and that everything that we say and we do is done in God's presence, right? To acknowledge that everything we are, everyone we meet, all the experiences in the world is part of God's creation and part of God's plan. And also to understand that every one of our sins, every time we go against the will of God, every time we push back, instead of trying to understand the teachings of the church, to push back against them, we separate ourselves from having that truly intimate and personal encounter with God himself, because we're making everything about ourselves and not about what's best for the other. That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. We're talking about Mark's gospel and Jesus' teaching about humility. Would love to hear from you. Maybe you struggle with humility yourself. Maybe you're trying to find a balance with humility. Maybe you have some prayers or some other things that you do to bring humility into your life. Maybe you're overly scrupulous, right? Or maybe you're trying to understand the difference between using the gifts that God has given you with arrogance or with confidence. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Again, we're talking about Jesus' beautiful teaching on the virtue of humility. See, but in our weakness, in our sin, we spurn humility and we turn our backs on God when we sin. Right? Why? We believe we know better than God. we think that we're the author of our own success. And what do we do? When we do that, we ignore God's plan. We ignore God's plan. In our pride, we too often live absent of the awareness that we are always in the presence of God, right? And St. Benedict talks about this in his rule. He talks about the monk keeping death daily before his eyes. He talks about, you know, always not obsessing about death, but thinking about death and how, like David did in the Psalm, how short life is. And to focus on those things that are truly important, right? Which is what? Making a gift of ourselves to others. And this is something beautiful I came up with in adoration, is when you give yourself away in love is when you truly find yourself in God, right? That's what Jesus is trying to emphasize today in the gospel, right? And so we're talking about Jesus's beautiful teaching on humility in Mark's gospel. When the apostles try to argue amongst themselves who's the greatest, Jesus says the greatest among you is the least and the servant of all. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Share with us your experience of humility, your struggles with humility, how you deal with somebody who is arrogant. Maybe you exercise humility just like David did, right, in the Psalm, when he's feeling anger and vitriol, but he remembers how short his life is and to focus on those things that are important. Would love to share your experience as well. The phone number to join us on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So when we have the humility that Jesus is talking about in the gospel today, that permits us to live before God as we truly are, not to put on a pretense, not to try to be someone that we're not, not to puff ourselves up to make ourselves look better in front of others, right? Because look, God made us. He knows us. You know, Psalm 139, it talks about, you know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, right? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And that word yada in Hebrew, deeply, personally, intimately, right? So we have to acknowledge our sinfulness, our pride. If we want that deep relation with God, we have to recognize and understand that pride and arrogance and all those things, they get in the way. They get in the way. What do you mean by pride? So pride is shallow, focusing on the outer life, how I appear to other people, and denies the inner life, how I appear to God. See, that's the key. Not focusing on how I appear to other people. How do I appear before God? And that's the front that we want to put on for people, our true selves, right? Our true selves. So pride may be expressed in many different ways. So a couple of examples. Coming to church on Sunday, but deliberately living apart from the teachings of the church from Monday to Saturday. Yeah, I'll just come and punch the clock on Sunday, but I'll do whatever I want the rest of the week. Taking personal credit for our accomplishments and achievements as if they the result of something that I did and not God's divine goodness and grace working in my life, right? Minimizing our sins because I'm a good person, so I don't need to do what everybody else is doing. That's arrogance and that's pride, right? So those things get in the way of truly exercising the humility, the beautiful virtue that Jesus talks about today in Mark's gospel. So again, Jesus does this in two ways. It's actually very, very simple teaching. He says, once again, he shall, if anyone wishes to be first, okay, to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. Now, in the secular world, our culture today, that's just the opposite. You know, if you have money, if you have prestige, if you have power, if you have authority, that's what makes you number one. Look how far I am above all these other people. But Jesus flips it on its head. He reverses it. No, the opposite is true. It's the one who exercises the spirit of servanthood. It's the one who is the least, right? That's the one who's going to be first. You know, one simple way I did this when I was in the monastery was I would always go for dinner, for meals, I'd always eat last. I'd be the last one in line to get the meal because it says the last shall be first, right? So we're talking about humility today, exercising that incredible virtue, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Bill is calling from Long Island, New York. I was just there about a month ago, had an amazing time. A great bishop there, David Barris, in the Diocese of Rockville Center. And Bill is listening on Sirius XM. Welcome to Beacon of Truth, Bill.
Hello?
Bill, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. Hi, how are you?
Doing well, my friend.
I just have a comment. I wake up every morning acknowledging God as my Father, and I ask him that I may work in his vineyard today, saving souls. Use me big, keep me little. Use me mightily, keep me hidden. Use me great, keep me small.
Oh, I love that, Bill. Did you make that up? Or is that a prayer that's online somewhere?
No, I made that up.
No, you seriously? Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Bill, that is awesome. Dude, man, everybody should have access. What a beautiful prayer. And that you just came from your heart. That is awesome, Bill. Thank you so much for sharing that. If you want to go to beacon@ewtn.com, Bill, if you want to just jot that down, I'd be happy to share it with the other members of the EWTN family and the Beacon of Truth listeners. I'm sure that beautiful prayer will really elevate people's hearts and minds to God. That was the Bill. Say it one more time.
Well, I ask him when I'm working in his vineyard that I may go pick up all the trampled and discarded grapes. That's the soul. But use me big, keep me little. Use me mightily, keep me hidden. Use me great, keep me small.
that is awesome. Oh, Bill, we are also blessed by your call today. He came up with that prayer himself. What does that tell us? That he's living in that spirit of humility that Jesus is talking about today in the gospel. Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's word in Mark's gospel, the reading for this Sunday, where Jesus talks about humility. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Another thing that I always reference back in my own mind when serving in ministry is, am I doing it for my glory or am I growing because of the people that God has placed in the ministry and then seeing the fruits of that? Like when you see no fruit, when you feel like you're frustrated, well, no one wants to help me. Okay, well, it's not about you. Like, there's elements, because I've been known to like get an idea for ministry and then I'm four to the floor, right? All right, God gave me this thing and we're doing this. And then it falls flat because it's not time. Like it's just the idea and the passion and the, you know, education and all the things that have to take place to get from A to B. But we think A to B is just whoop, open the door, and it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, that's so true. And one thing we want to be careful of, too, with music at Mass, and we're so grateful to the many music ministers that provide us with elevated worship through the music at Mass. But remember, the music is there to serve the Mass, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. So, for example, during the offertory, when they're bringing up the gifts and taking the collection and the deacon is assisting the priest with the preparation of the altar, they're singing a song. But when Father does a lavabo and he's ready to start, the choir is like, okay, well, we practice four verses. We're going to do four verses. And wait a minute. Okay, Father's ready to go. The music should stop because the music is serving the Mass, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So we got to be careful to make sure that it's not a concert.
Yeah.
Right? That the music is serving what's going on in the service, not the other way around. And when people clap at the end, I personally don't like that because like, oh, what great. I mean, musicians don't play at church for applause.
Right.
If you want to do a play at a bar, concert, right? All the honor and glory should go to God. And again, they're just musicians elevating that worship so people could be drawn in to that divine mystery.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe people can differ with me if they want. That's fine.
No, I mean, as a worship leader, I agree, because I don't want people to go, you guys sounded great today. I want them to say, hey, I was really moved by the music today, because that's Holy Spirit using that as a tool when it's necessary. It's not because because in my head, I'm like, oh man, I went to D instead of C, you know, that's where I'm at sometimes. So if people don't notice the blips and blunders that I do when I'm, you know, playing those songs, because sometimes I get lost in the worship. Like, I'm not looking at my music. I've closed my eyes and I'm having that time too, because I know that the only way that I can also lead worship is to worship with them.
Yes, that's it. That's the key. I love that. We're talking about humility on Word of God Wednesday today, looking at Mark's Gospel. And we want to go to Jeff, calling from Pennsylvania, listen on Sirius XM. And welcome, Jeff, to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, thank you, Deacon. Wonderful work. You guys are onto something there with that Holy Spirit taking the prominent place in our motives. I am the most humblest guy you will ever meet. my dad taught me that in a humorous way, because it was so like arrogant and cocky in humility, right? Competing with humility, right? I laughed a little bit when you said you were the last guy in the monastery to eat. You're lucky I wasn't there. We'd be having fist fights over who's going to be the last one. Also, I know you are a wrestler, and I'm Pennsylvania State judo champ. So it's humility definitely is who are you doing it for. And I love the national collegiate champions this year. I forget their names. Both of them said they're practicing presence, all glory to God.
Yes.
You should shine. You should stand out. You should be spectacular. But for God's glory, that's the where humility comes in, not in the winning and wanting to. With that, we should do that.
Jeff, you are on to something. You know what, Jeff? You brought up something that you made me think just now. Because think about it. I think part of not using your gifts is when you don't use. For example, you know that you have a talent and you're not using it to its full potential. That's arrogance. Not just because you're bragging. Well, if you have a gift and you choose not to use it, because God gave you that so that you can use it to honor him, so you can be that witness and example. So if you choose not to use it because you don't want to be arrogant, oh, I don't want to be arrogant, so I'm not going to use my gift. Woo, time out. Hold on. That's not the case. You should use your gifts to the best of your ability. But as you beautifully said, Jeff, those athletes that recognize that, they first give honor and glory to God. That's the one thing I liked about so many Olympic athletes. When they did their accomplishment, they got their medals, in their speeches, they thanked God, right? Simone Biles thanked God. Some people on the national basketball team, thank God. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we need to see. Wow, wonderful discussion today. All right. Well, remember, as always, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EW10.com/radio. And remember, the Parousia USA Tour 2024, We Will Serve the Lord, coming to an East Coast location near you. Go to my website, deaconharold.com, scroll down to the Parousia USA Tour tab and get all the details there. We're talking about online learning tomorrow. Until then, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.